It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. Tis the season for giving, and to celebrate the start of the most joyous time of the year, DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all players the opportunity to cash in on a no-brainer this Thanksgiving. DraftKings Sportsbook giving you a chance to double your money if either Baltimore or Pittsburgh score a touchdown in Thursday night's game. All it takes for you to double your money is one touchdown. Yep, you heard it right. All you have to do is opt into the promotion, place your bet, sit back, and watch the ball enter the end zone. Guys, if you don't take this bet, you're crazy. It's a no-brainer if there ever was one. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN when you sign up to get the can't-miss offer. DraftKings Sportsbook giving you the chance to double your money if either Pittsburgh or Baltimore score a touchdown in Thursday night's game. That's right. All it takes is one touchdown, and you double your money when you use promo code KSN during sign-up for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, between segments, you and I were talking, and you said something that struck a chord with me, which is, you know, they've got to restrict, or they have chosen to restrict the offense with Will Levis at quarterback. You said they don't trust him to throw the ball for first down on fourth and one. They are not under center to do a quarterback sneak. My question to you is, why not? Is there a good reason why, especially with Will Levis as your quarterback, don't you think he'd be near automatic under the center for a quarterback sneak?
This is the first we're touching on this particular topic this season, isn't it? I mean, there have been so many more glaring issues than this one all season that it's taken us a while to get here. And the answer to that is basically Franklin is stubborn about this. You know, there are a number of things that he's stubborn about and insistent upon not doing or doing. The fullback obviously is another one that's a touchy subject for some, but I think the line is that it's about practice time and it's about executing the formation that you run all the time. And whether you buy that or not, whatever, but it would be, if you've got a 6'3", 230-pound quarterback and the quarterback's under center and needs a yard, you should have a much easier time there. And to your point, you know, like, I just don't know, like, what is Penn State's go-to anything in a must-have situation? Will Levis is not going to be asked to throw the ball in that situation. Clearly, you know, they've got limits on what they're asking him to do. And, you know, frankly, if you're going to have such strict limits on a guy who's played some football before, this isn't a guy who's playing his first game. If you're going to have such severe limits on a guy and not ask him to do anything, because you haven't seen it in a practice or whatever, then why is that guy out there? Running between the tackles in that situation, Iowa is owning the line of scrimmage. So the odds of that happening, especially when there's any kind of mesh and there's any kind of read element to it, by the time you make that read, you're going to have three guys on you. That's just the way that Saturday night went. The pitch play, you haven't done a whole lot of it. You call play where you're going to the quarterback's non-throwing side, which adds an interesting element, which you saw the lack of accuracy. I just felt like, based on what you do, what is a go-to play there? What is the right play call there? The way that they're executing, there really is no such thing as a perfect play call.
Well, their go-to play on offense, as we all know, is that read option, that zone read, and it's not been working. And when you talk about, gee, we don't want to dedicate enough time to go under center for a quarterback sneak type play, I'll remind you that they had three possessions in the first half that they did not succeed, okay? three times when they were at third and one or fourth and one and or fourth and one and didn't succeed. If there was ever an incentive to figure out a way to get 1 yard, I would think that would be it. All right, let's move on, Dustin. A couple more issues. And James Franklin often talks about the turnovers as being the issue. I don't think anyone could argue with that, with these quarterbacks have been turning the ball over. But you also have to look at the other side of the on defense and creating turnovers and golden opportunity for Penn State, and Jaquan Brisker just flat out drops the ball.
Yeah, this was a big thing for these guys, and the coaching staff apparently told the secondary that they believe that Penn State led the nation in dropped interceptions last year. Well, they took another step in that direction in 2020, and why not? And I think they even said it on the broadcast, you know, these guys, a lot of times they play wide receiver, their hands aren't good enough to play there. They move the defensive back because they're good athletes and they're not capable of catching the ball. And that's an ongoing issue. Again, it goes back to what we talked about with this Jesse Luchetta play. There are opportunities to swing the pendulum of momentum and you don't make that play. And I think there were another couple where it was close. You know, Penn State could have reasonably been expected to make the turnover, get the ball and see what happens, get a little bit of momentum, get a little bit of energy going in your direction, and you don't do it. Turnovers on the other side, obviously 27 points off turnovers for Iowa in this game. You can't beat anybody with that in mind. And the other interesting thing is, I saw this Iowa team beat Minnesota 35-7 the week before. And you look at the box score and you're like, how did they so thoroughly dismantle this Minnesota team? They didn't do anything on the stat sheet. And it's kind of the same dynamic here. It wasn't like Iowa had these gaudy statistics. But the one thing that really stood out, obviously the points off turnovers is item number one. 27-6, Iowa had an advantage there. That's more than the difference in the game. But what Iowa did, they averaged 7.2 yards per carry on first down runs. So what they did was they were in a situation, they were really never off schedule when the game hung in the balance. They were always ahead of the chains. They were always in second and short. They were always in third and short. And if you're allowing Iowa to do that to you, you're allowing their exact formula to play out. And you're not explosive enough on offense. You're not consistent enough on offense to make up for the fact that you're getting pushed around up front. And there's no other way to put it. Penn State's defensive line was pushed around up front by this Iowa offensive line. And, you know, most times it's not there's no shame in that because Iowa has a very good, physical, talented offensive line. They always do. But you just kind of expected more from this defensive front than to tend to get, you know, to get dominated at the point of attack. And I think you could probably say the same thing on the other side too. And that was the story in the game. Iowa was never uncomfortable, and Penn State lost the turnover battle big time again.
And when you're losing at the line of scrimmage, that was not expected of this Penn State team going into this. I don't think anyone thought this defensive line would get dominated. And we certainly thought that this offensive line, a veteran group, that they would show signs of improvement. We haven't seen that, though, have we?
We have not seen it. And I was thinking about this before we started here today. What is one position group where you can say that Penn State has not fallen short of expectations? And it's both in a pleasant way and both in a you had zero expectations.
Wide receiver.
Anyway.
Wide receiver.
Wide receiver. Absolutely. The one position group that I feel like hasn't underachieved is the one, you know, mostly because we didn't have any expectations for him, but also because you've seen some promising things from at least a couple guys with Dotson and Washington, and you hope that maybe some others develop. Everybody else on the roster, safeties, cornerbacks, linebackers, defensive tackles, defensive ends, offensive line, quarterback, running backs, they've all been, and Pat Freiermuth, the tight end, we'll get into his situation then, but he's just kind of met expectations, I suppose. Everybody else, well short of expectation.
Very much so. And let's talk about, they made another quarterback change, bringing Sean Clifford back into the game. Back-to-back throws for touchdowns. Do you know one other thing that was in common with those two touchdown throws that I don't think I've seen at all the rest of this season? There was a pump fake on both touchdown passes. I'm not sure we've seen that at all. And one of the complaints that I've had is it appears the quarterbacks are just staring down their primary receiver, and that's where they're going. This was the first time I saw them, and it wasn't so much that he went to a secondary receiver. It looked like it was a planned play. Pump fake here, wide open receiver. Again, pump fake here, wide open Jahan Dotson deep. Seems like that's something they could have thought to do earlier in the season.
Yeah, earlier in this game, show that you're going to do it. You know, I think Iowa, without seeing the sort of all 22 footage of what Iowa was doing exactly coverage-wise on the back end, maybe they were just a little more susceptible because they were getting aggressive and not really respecting the deep ball, and maybe they adjusted back there. But it's something, I mean, and those throws are exactly why you hold out hope for optimism. I would use the past tense, I guess. You held out hope for optimism for Sean Clifford because he can deliver that ball very nicely. And the image of him making those throws, you know, in garbage time the year before he became the starter, had you kind of thinking, okay, I mean, you can maybe stretch this offense, because that wasn't really Trace McSorley's strength, is pushing the ball deep quite that way. And so you feel good about that. And Clifford comes in, he makes a couple big time throws, two touchdowns on two attempts. And you think, okay, I mean, maybe Sean Clifford is the energy guy now. Maybe he's the guy who's going to lift this offense off the bench. It's 31-21 at the end of the third. Mathematically, Penn State is right back in this game, especially if they can make another big play or two down the field. And then reality just kind of smacks everybody right in the face there, doesn't it?
Oh boy, it sure does. But those two plays were the first time I think I really looked at, you know, Kirk Shiraka's offense and said, there it is. Those are the kind of plays that we expected from him to take advantage of the defense. We kept throwing the ball short. Well, here we go. Pump fake, throw deep, or throw to another receiver. Is that not the first time we've seen the Kirk Shiraka type offense that we've been looking for?
Yeah, I mean, so something exciting, something down the field, something that you let it rip. You know, I think Clifford is capable of making those plays. I don't care. I feel like Will Levis can make those throws down the field. For whatever reason, Penn State doesn't seem to trust him to do that. But you need to do it, especially in these situations where you don't have a whole hell of a lot to lose, Jim. Let's try to make some plays down the field and try to get those guys over top the defense. They did it here a couple times. You didn't see it sustained in this one, and you did see, you know, a fifth straight loss as a result.
All right. That's it for quarter number two. In quarter number three, I want to take a look, Dustin, at this game from the coach's perspective. Stick with us.
DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving you the chance to double your money if either Pittsburgh or Baltimore scores a touchdown in Thursday night's game. All it takes is one touchdown. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN during sign-up. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.